This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and it is time for our pick six at six.
Commander Storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Number one.
Anthony, you have the number one spot this week. Who you got as the most impactful player for Commanders and Giants this weekend?
I think the most impactful players will be a trio of guys.
Oh, boy. All right, we're starting with wacky bits.
Well, I guess we don't necessarily have to.
I picked two guys last week. Go ahead. Who you got? Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tyler Biadasz, Sam Cosmi, and Nick Allegretti.
Yep.
Because they're back. So really, you want to write down Dexter Lawrence?
Essentially, yes. Yes.
Okay, we're just going to put down Dexter Lawrence.
Okay. All right, we'll go with Dexter Lawrence then.
That's a good pick. And just as a reminder, we're picking the six most impactful players in the game, sans quarterbacks. No Jaden Daniels, no Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think the first matchup when we played them. Oh, my bad. I forgot to turn this down.
I was going to get in your ear eventually and be like, hey, the music's running a little hot, but I was going to let you keep talking.
In the first matchup, we completely took Dexter Lawrence out of the game. He really didn't have any impact plays. But against everybody else, he does currently lead the league in sacks, which is very notable just because the Giants as a whole lead the league in sacks at 35. So just being able to take him out, disrupt what they do best, which is get after the passer, is going to be huge for the offensive line. But also part of the reason I mentioned these guys is because in that first matchup where we got down in the red zone, penalty after penalty after penalty, last week, Sam Cosmi, penalty. Who else? Trent Scott.
Allegretti had one.
Allegretti, penalty. So, again, if we're going to be able to sustain drives, score points in the red zone, it's going to have to come at us not penalizing ourselves by these penalties, these false starts and illegal man downfields.
Yeah, no, 100%. That has been the issue in the red zone when they've had issues in the red zone is they've gotten in good positions and absolutely killed themselves. And they would have had a first and goal like the four if Allegretti's not downfield on the screen to De'Ami Brown. They had a touchdown wiped off. Sam Cosmi downfield illegally to Olamide Zaccheaus. You got Trent Scott turning like a third and five, which is manageable, into a third and 10, which is not. Just over and over and over again, the penalties on the offensive line. But on the Lawrence front of it, this is apparently Fred Smoot's favorite stat that I learned via Logan. Tyler Biadasz has never allowed a sack to Dexter Lawrence. And if they can continue that this week, great. But there are downsides to putting that much attention on him, which is in the first matchup, Jaden took five sacks from other guys. So I am curious to see kind of how this game plays out. I think overall they're going to run the heck out of the football. And that's going to be the bigger thing along the offensive line is how well do you run block? Because for as great as Lawrence is as a pass rusher, he's actually not as good of a... He's not like the best run defender in the league. He's good at it, but he's not some immovable force that you'd think, like, oh, Dexter Lawrence, nose guard, one of the best defensive players in football, great run stuffer. You can run on him. And so can you at least prevent him from being disruptive in the run game? Dexter Lawrence, he's the best player on the field, maybe overall, with all due respect to everybody else, but certainly on that Giants defense. And so I think he's a very, very good number one choice.
Number two.
I'm going to go with, in an effort to try to keep this, actually, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go back-to-back Giants here. We've never done this before. Never had back-to-back opposing players to start. But there's one guy who can ruin the day on the Giants offense of the Commanders, and that guy is Malik Nabers. He's that good. He is a rookie, but he is a stud. He was targeted, I think it was 19 times in their first game, something ridiculous like that. And they're going to move him around. I think there's a... I almost put Benjamin St. Juice because I thought about, hey, how do the Commanders try to match up with him? Do they put Juice on him? You know, is there going to be safety help over the top? Like, how do they do it? And instead of overcomplicating it with trying to play the which Commander game, I just think that we should talk about Nabers. He can catch the ball in the screen game. He can catch the ball down the field. He's a good route runner. He's got great hands. He's got vertical speed. And so if I am Jowett Jr., I am giving every pre-snap look I can geared towards Daniel. Don't throw it to Malik Nabers. He's not open. Don't even bother looking this way. And if I rotate some stuff out and occasionally take a risk of leaving him on an island, that's fine. But I never want to give a clean, hey, it's one-on-one. You can throw to Nabers because Jones is going to try to, and Nabers is good enough to make him right in a way that can really be damaging in the explosive play category. So Malik Nabers is number two.
Yeah, this guy has had targets of 13, 15, 12, and in the week two matchup against the Commanders, 18. So
18, yeah.
Definitely going to be heavily targeted.
Yeah, just kind of what they do.
Number three.
All right, who you got for number three?
Number three, I'm going to go with Dorrance Armstrong. In part, you know, Daniel Jones, he's a world beater when it comes to playing, you know, against the Washington franchise. And he usually does a lot of his damage on the ground, the read option. So I'm more so just going to be heavily focused on whether or not our DNs can, you know, not crash down so quickly just because of the threat of Daniel Jones. Just being disciplined. And then also Dorrance, like, just to get another sack or get back in that column, because we know if he is our best, you know, defensive end, our best pass rusher, we need to be able to get home. And I think it's going to start with him.
Yeah, I mean, his pass rush has been pretty good, pretty consistently for a lot of the season. The injury slows him down, obviously, a little bit. Yeah. We'll see if he can get back on the board. But this defensive pass rush unit was really impactful last week. They just needed to finish more plays. They pressured on 61% of Caleb Williams' dropbacks, but they only come down, I believe it was with two sacks. So I think Dorrance is a great choice. I think you could have, you know, if you want to talk about some of the other DNs, you obviously could as well. I think all of them playing the run as well, making sure that these runs don't get out from Tyrone Tracy is really important as well. Speaking of the run game, that's where we're going to pick us up next on the back half of our pick six at six. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Offense Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980 in our final 45, starting with our pick six, the back half of it. Six most important players on the field on Sunday between the Commanders and the Giants. We started off actually with two Giants this week and how the Commanders can shut them down. Dexter Lawrence, Malik Nabers, before Anthony went with Dorrance Armstrong at number three. I'm up with number four, Anthony, and I'm going to ask you a question. Should I zig or zag? Zig is kind of what you'd expect. Zag is going the other way.
Let's zag.
I knew you were going to say zag.
You know me.
Number four.
He's a zagger. then I'm going to go Austin Eckler.
Okay.
The zig was Brian Robinson, who is one of the best running backs in the NFL. He is running at a success rate that if he was the Commander's entire run game, would be the best run game in the NFL. The Giants really, really struggle to fit runs. They have had a real problem on the perimeter doing that. And Brian Robinson is not only good between the tackles, but he is good on the perimeter. He can do everything. He's hitting every kind of run, and I think he'll have a big day. He obviously had a big day the first time around. But Austin Eckler has not been the same since the time he missed with a concussion. I'm not going to say since the concussion. That has implications that I don't mean. But he has not been the explosive guy who is, you know, from a kickoff return game to the screen game to this to that. And so if they can get him back going, like that unlocks an even higher level of their offense. Now they've mostly been okay, but they definitely have missed him being the guy that is leading the NFL still, by the way, in yards per reception. He just hasn't been as effective. So can he pop a big one? Can he get a screen? Can he take a kickoff return back? I mean, remember, that actually was a big play in that first game, although it was called back on a penalty. The reason that Graham Gano pulled his hamstring is because he was chasing Austin Eckler on a big kickoff return. He later had, I think, a big screen pass in that game. He's also had some big runs this year. So I'm going to go with Austin Eckler to see if he can get back on track. Robinson is really the more important guy, if I'm being honest, but this is the kind of game where Eckler might get some chances, and if he can build a little confidence and they can find something with him, I think that might be the bigger deal moving forward, because I trust that B-Rob's going to continue to be B-Rob. Make sense?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, up to you, sir.
Number five,
Mr. Hoffman. I'm also going to be on the offensive side of the ball again. I'm going with Terry McLaurin. And part of the reason I'm going with Terry, in the week two matchup against the Giants, he had six receptions for 22 yards. And everybody was questioning whether or not Cliff needed to get him more involved, if Terry was really, you know, as good as we had all thought. And since that game, Mr. Hoffman, he has had 32 receptions for 540 yards. He has been cooking. Also, I think this is a game where he can let Deontay Banks know he can't mess with him, man.
There was a little talk about that in the press conference this week. Basically, Terry was like, I never go into a game talking trash,
yep,
but I'm also here for the smoke. So if you want to talk, like, we can talk, but I'm also going to play, and we'll see how you can play. That's me paraphrasing Terry / extrapolating from Terry's comments. And he and Banks have gotten a little mouthy in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think earlier in the season, that was a really interesting game. And it was kind of the last game that Cliff didn't know what to do with Terry. Now they understand Terry is effective, not just on verticals, but most effective on verticals. If you can get him comebacks and stuff, he'll catch them at a really high level. And his vertical speed threatens DBs where he can create some separation there. And then the second that they don't respect that and they're trying to jump the comeback, you get him on the go ball. And they've gotten Terry a go ball in what feels like every single game. And they knew they needed to get Terry the football, but they tried to do it with a bunch of screens and stuff that he wasn't as good at. I think that you can still get him on some of the crossers and things like that where you get him in space and let him run. So it's not that he's bad with the ball in his hands. It's just, for a guy that is one of the best receivers in football, he's not like a super clean hands catcher. Mm-hmm. And so getting him screen balls where he's got to catch, tuck, run, and it's got to be really fluid isn't necessarily his cup of tea. Now I just really want a cup of tea. Anyway, I'll deal with that when I get home. I thought Cliff was actually interesting on this. I thought this was a great question in the way it's asked by Steve Wino. But Cliff talked about Terry and the emphasis on getting him the ball earlier this week.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, every game with a guy like that, you come out of it saying, I wish we would have gotten it to him more. I mean, he's that type of a talent, and he plays hard. And like I've told you before, the beauty of him is he never asks for it. He never comes back, complains, never gets on the quarterback. He just does his job. And when that guy is doing it like that and blocking, playing without the ball, then everybody else is going to get in line. And that's kind of the beauty of him. But, yeah, I think he's a guy you want to make sure every week if the money's on the table, like the ball's going to him.
And they've done that, right? Every big spot, it feels like this year, Terry has been the target. And I think unlike week two, one of the biggest evolutions of this offense from a schematic standpoint, from a play calling standpoint, has been they understand where Terry fits in it now in a way that they didn't in week two. And the results have been magnificent. He's got two games in the 50s receiving, and then the other four are 98 and 100 plus. So, yeah, he's I think, good choice, Anthony. Good choice. I'll give you the Lee Corso.
Thank you,
sir. Name my pencil. Good choice, Herbie. All right. That's not what Lee sounds like, but everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Number six.
Ah, man. So many directions to go. I already went Eckler, which kind of gets a special teams aspect on it. We got the running game. We got the passing game. We have some defense. I'm gonna go with a big name here, which sometime we try to be a little different, but I'm gonna go with Frankie Luvu, and I'm gonna go with Frankie Luvu in part because I'm not exactly sure what we're gonna get out of Frankie Luvu from a availability standpoint. Luvu missed the last 2 days of practice as we sit here on a Friday, right? He missed Wednesday and Thursday with a shin issue. Dan Quinn said he did go through a limited practice today, and he is good to go on Sunday. He's listed as questionable, but he's going to play. But is he fully ready to play? Is he kind of ready to play? Are they going to keep him in or out of certain situations, pass rusher, open field play, whatever? And if he doesn't play a full complement of snaps, just purely from a management standpoint or because he didn't have the full week to prep or whatever the reason, who replaces him? Is it something that one of the edges gets more snaps and they play some different personnel groupings and maybe they have more of a three safety look on the field more often? Does Jordan McGee get out there for the first time? So I think with Luvu being questionable and not knowing exactly what we're going to get from him, it opens up, because he's so versatile, Anthony, it kind of opens up a can of worms where if any of his singular uses are unavailable, who's the guy that fills it is filled or is answered by like four different dudes.
Do you think, in part to him not practicing Wednesday and Thursday, was more so just due to him resting? Because I saw Lamar earlier today. He spoke about not practicing Wednesday and Thursday, and he basically commented and said, we understand it's a long season. I'm not sure if the Ravens' bye is like super late, but I know we have a week 14 bye. So, and we also have three games in like 10 days or something like that. So it's more so, do you think they were necessarily gearing up for that reality, being as though we do have a, after this still is a short week kind of thing?
It is definitely possible. It is definitely possible, but I also think that, like, and they've done that this year, right? Like, they've rested veterans.
Yeah.
But he's also got an injury.
Okay.
So it's not like he was DNP rest. He was DNP shin.
Yeah.
Quinn today, he did better as he was going through. It reminded me a little bit of Carolina week with him, where he was sore early in the week, and then by yesterday it was getting better. Then today he was able to look more like himself. So that was a good time for us. That's what DQ said today about Luvu in terms of his availability. So it sounds like, yeah, part of it was, hey, we need to just let him heal up. That's more valuable than putting more wear on his body from a practice standpoint.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they need to let the thing that needs to heal up because it's injured and it's a shin. So I don't know whether that affects him more like running around in space, whether it affects him more trying to push off and burst as a pass rusher, whether it doesn't really affect him that much at all. And it just kind of hurt. And it's like, hey, well, if you don't have to play right now, if you don't have to practice, then like, let's let you rest, but you'll be fine when you have to go. So I don't know. And that's why I'm going to put him down, because he is such an important part of their defense. Brian Daboll was really funny in a couple answers this week. There was one answer he gave on Jaden where he just kind of hangs his head and then praises Jaden. He just knows, like, that dude is going to torment me for the rest of the time that I'm the head coach of someone else in his division. But he talked about Luvu, and he's like, man, the violence that dude plays with. And he talked about how, remember in week two when he circled back on that play like 10 yards down the field and like laid Malik Nabers out in the open field?
Yeah.
That is a play that you don't see very often. And Daboll was like, that was special. So they realize on that side of it how important Frankie Luvu is. So we'll see what he can give on Sunday. That's our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show. Anthony, what are we doing? Weekend preview next? Is that what we decided we're going to do?
Yes, sir.
All right. Weekend preview. What else is going on outside the NFL this weekend as we wrap up here on the Team 980? Anthony, did we just stumble into something? Should we do Funk Fridays?
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, I've had way worse ideas.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have played a lot of funk music today.
Yeah.
So
it's just kind of happened?
Yeah, it just happened. If we want to. Now, what I would need, I probably would need the help of some of our listeners just because they know a little bit more music than me.
You're saying their catalogs run a little deeper?
Yeah. Like, I have a couple of, you know, hit songs, but, you know, they might really have some hidden gems.
Yeah. I mean, we could definitely solicit some feedback.
Yeah. But then we might get actually callers sending in their own music.
I mean, look, DC's a tremendous music city.
Yeah.
I've heard worse ideas. Feels a little cheesy, but...
Funk Friday, baby. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how Rebecca Black ties into Funk Friday, though.
No, that's also another problem.
Yeah.
This is something that you have made a part of the show.
Yes.
You wanted to add an honorable mention to the pick six real quick before we get into the rest of our weekend preview.
I did. We haven't really talked about it too much. It's been mentioned. But Brandon Coleman is probably going to play his first full game at left tackle. You know, the rotating of tackles between him and Corn Lucas has been pretty efficient. His work for the Commanders is unusual by NFL standards, but it has worked for the Commanders. So just seeing or just evaluating that, because that is what we eventually do want. We do want a star ward at left tackle. And if that guy can be Brandon Coleman, who we got in the third round, I think that's something to note. Or, you know, be watching out for anyway.
100%. You know, they've got some good pass rushers. Brian Burns is a professional pass rusher.
Yes.
And so how he plays against Brandon Coleman is going to be really interesting. And I feel like Burns had a couple of good snaps. You know, Coleman at that point, was he playing in week two yet? Are they still rotating? They started with the rotation, right? I'm trying to remember when that happened. I might have started week two. It might have been his first week. But yeah, it is something that they need to figure out how to take advantage of his strengths, obviously. The athleticism, get him out on the edge. Like, I'm, you know, their GT package looks a little better this week. Their guard tackle pull package, you know, looks a little better with him pulling versus Lucas. But you got to also make sure that you give him the help you need in the pass rush situations. If you get in some third and longs, that he's not out there on an island against a veteran who knows how to get after the passer. So I think it's a great call. I think that definitely is something to watch. And especially because he hasn't played a couple weeks. Like,
yep.
You know, it is a position where like your rhythm and everything matters. And he's definitely out of rhythm. So something to watch. Speaking of things to watch, a bunch of interesting games for DMV teams this weekend, and a bunch of stuff interesting around the sports world. Let's start off. I'm going to do it, Anthony. Hold on. Turn my hat back around.
There it is, baby.
Turn my spirit hat back around. Because there is one team currently in the DMV that is closest to the playoffs. Now, it is nice to be able to say they are not the only team that is the number two seed, for instance, right now in their league. Although I guess for the Commanders, it's in the conference. The Caps have the best record in the league, but things are just getting started there. And we'll talk about all of them in a moment. But the Washington Spirit are in North Carolina, where they will take on the Courage this weekend, 7:30 tomorrow night. So good time window. I believe it's an Ion game. But check your local listings for details. But the Spirit playing North Carolina, it is the last game of the regular season. Washington is currently sitting on 53 points, which is second in the NWSL. They are 4 goals up in goal differential on Gotham. And if they win, they get the 2 seed and will host 2 playoff games, presuming they win the first one at Audi Field. Ironically enough, Anthony, if they lose to North Carolina, who has been arguably the best team in the league this season at home, like they're home North Carolina Courage, best team in the league. They have lost, I think, 1 game all season at home. If they were to lose or if they were to win, that probably knocks Washington down to 4th. And guess who's in 5th in an 8-team playoff, a.k.a. would be their first-round matchup?
The Courage.
North Carolina. That is correct. That same North Carolina team would come here. There's been many a playoff matchups between them in the past, including some heartbreaking ones for Washington. I do not want that with all of my soul. So 7:30 tomorrow night, we'll definitely be tuned in to watch that one. If you want more on the NWSL weekend and more on where the Spirits sit, check out the NWSL show at Hoffman W Sports on YouTube or search Hoffman W Sports in your favorite podcast app. Okay, back to the other teams in the DMV. Obviously, we spent most of the show talking about Commanders and Giants. The Capitals are off to a 7-2 start of their own, Anthony, and Alex Ovechkin is rolling right now. Have you checked in to Capitals hockey this year?
I have not been able to, just been super busy.
Same.
But I have heard good things about the Caps. Ovi is still, you know, trying to catch Wayne Gretzky. And
a lot of people are saying he's probably not going to do it, starting to slow down a little bit.
Yeah. But maybe next year.
But the way he's on a tear right now, I mean, maybe. Let's see. How many goals he got already this season? He is. Every time I get like a little alert on my phone, I'm like, oh, dang. Again? He's up to 858 for his career. They won 6-3 the other day. So they're on a 2-game streak right now. They lost to the Lightning last weekend. But they are in Columbus, they're at home against Columbus tomorrow at 5. The Wizards are very far from home this weekend, Anthony. They're in Mexico City.
My goodness.
Where they're going to take on Miami. Big to-do. Monumental's doing a broadcast in Spanish this weekend, which is very, very cool as part of the NBA's international games. But how about the old Zardos pulling out back-to-back wins against Atlanta? Not back-to-back, but I guess back-to-back, but not back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
Home and home, win at Atlanta, then come back home and win here in D.C. And, man, Bilal is Bilal all of a sudden going to be, like, flirting with an all-star team this year or something? 27 points, 9 rebounds in the game the other night, 3 steals, a block. He's handling the ball in major situations. He's playing outstanding defense. And I do want to, like, pump the brakes a little bit, right? Like, I can't go saying the things I used to say about Danny Avia when he had, like, a 27-9 game and be like, oh, my God, is Bilal an all-star? Because Denny would do that every once in a while. I'd be like, yo, Denny's not an all-star. But the fact that he is taking on this like leadership best player role, I think is really exciting. And, you know, he's just getting started. This is the start of year 2 for him. I think the other really encouraging thing is Jordan Poole has been in attack mode all year.
Man.
24 points, 9 assists. He got to the free throw line 8 times the other night. Like, this is how they want to play. They got up 38 threes and got to the free throw line 25 times. That's good hoop right there.
He just seems so mature this year. Like, we don't have to worry about, you know, the stuff that happened in Golden State, whether or not, you know, he's a team player. He just seems like a legitimate leader on this young team. And then going back to Bilal, that dude, man, one of my friends, he's a New York Knicks fan, and he loves Bilal Coulibaly. He said that he's his third favorite player, and that he sort of kind of reminds him of Kawhi Leonard. I said, hold on, bruh.
I've heard people are trying to say that.
Hold on, Kawhi. It could be like, early. It could be early. But if that is his ceiling, my.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, Kawhi is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. So let's not get too out ahead of our skis. But I also understand why people are like, I see like shades of Kawhi.
Yeah.
Kawhi didn't start as a Hall of Famer, nope. As a guy we thought was going to be that. And all of a sudden, he had that finals against LeBron. And people were like, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he turned into something totally different. And then obviously it fell off a cliff because of his knees. But yeah, I mean, he looks great. And by the way, look, Alex Sarr, it's going to be an up and down journey for him. And on the offensive side, 4 blocks the other night. He's legit on the defensive end.
Yeah, the offensive side is still coming along. I don't like him settling for too many jumpers, but
I think they want him taking jumpers, specifically threes.
Okay.
Like, I think that is him doing exactly what he is being asked to do. That is not clearly his optimal usage at this stage in his career, but he's taking, through the first 4 games, he's taking 5.3 threes a game. That is a choice. Again, is it the choice that you want to win games right now? No. But the fact that he is willing and they want him to be comfortable and like, no, hey, you're not going to get benched if you take those shots.
Yeah.
They need him to hit that stuff long term. They will continue to work on the jumper. That is a choice. So I don't necessarily even know if I look at it as settling. I'd say he is doing what he is told and he's not good at that thing yet.
Okay.
So I think that's one of those things from a framing standpoint where you got to understand where they are in the rebuild. So fans watching, like, I know that's not like, I want to win. I know. But that's, you want to be a smarter consumer of the Wizards this year. Every time Alex Sarr takes a uncontested in rhythm three, whether it's a you know, it looks ugly or not, that was a good shot. By the way, Kispert also got off 11 threes the other night. Love that.
Keep shooting, Corey.
Just keep cranking away. All right, that is our weekend preview here on the Hoffman Show, letting you know what's going on for all the teams in the DMV. And then when we get back, we will pick Commanders and Giants and hit one final edition of the week of Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones. I was kind of hoping you'd go for a bigger reaction, Anthony. I was just waiting to see what you did. I did hear you singing through the glass.
Was I singing that loud?
Yeah. Thank God there's the glass.
I apologize.
It is the final segment of the week here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well, on the free Odyssey app. And it is time to pick Commanders and Giants. Anthony, it is that time. We have been pretty good, I feel like, this year in our picks when it comes to the Commanders. You've been tracking it, yeah?
Yes. So we've only gotten... Well, you're doing one game better than me. Week 1, I chose the Commanders, you chose the Bucks. But outside of that, we've only gotten the Ravens wrong, and then we both chose the Bengals week 3.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I'm not, like, these are the games that used to scare the crap out of me because I'd be like, I'm definitely picking the Commanders, and I feel pretty good about it. And you just knew that you were going to come on Monday and feel like a giant clown because they would just wet the bed all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Commanders should win this game very handily. And I know should in the NFL, in a division game. Like, here's the only reason they won't. It's a division game in the NFL. And wacky stuff happens in division games. But you have, literally, the team that is number 1 in the NFL in EPA per rush versus the team that is the 4th worst an EPA per rush. That doesn't matter if you're playing for the first, the second, the third, the eighth time. It doesn't matter if you're in the division on that. If Washington runs the football at the rate that they have, they're going to win this game by a significant margin because the Giants' offense has been pitiful. They're averaging like 15 points a game. So if the Giants can't stop the number one thing Washington wants to do, and they can't score on the other side, 30-14 Washington?
You're going 30-14?
Yeah.
I'm expecting this to be a weird game, man. Again, early in the week, I thought we were going to win by 3. I think I want to double that. I think it's going to be a 23-17 kind of game.
You're probably more correct. I just, I'm telling you what I think based off looking at the football.
Hey, look, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we go out here and put up a 40-piece on these guys just like we did the Panthers. They are that bad offensively. They stink. But division games are weird. So that's why I'm where I am. And if the Commanders go out there and prove me wrong, hey, look, maybe I need to reevaluate things.
Hey, if they look, again, division game, it's a 3-point spread. The likelihood is that it's something stupid like 19-16 or something like that. 21-18 was the last one. Like, who knows? Maybe this new kicker misses a bunch of stuff and it winds up being 21-18 again. Can it at least be 3 touchdowns instead of 7 field goals this time? Like, I don't know. Tressway can hang out in his Maytag Halloween costume if he wants to. But based off what these two teams have been all year, 30-14 Washington.
Yeah.
Read it and weep. Okay. What other housekeeping do we have? Monday is a short show. Maryland Hoops is playing.
Oh yeah.
So we are out lickety split in a hurry on Monday. So we'll get in as much as we possibly can then. So make sure that you're not late for first and 10. And we'll have, you know, Michael Phillips and the whole deal. What else?
Halloween recap.
Yep.
We'll maybe.
That's probably going to have to be on Tuesday.
Yeah, might have to.
That's one of the things that's going to have to get bumped. Our Tuesdays are jammed, too.
Dang.
At some point, even if it's off air, Anthony, we'll just, me and you on Instagram, we'll do our first ever Hoffman show. Again, Instagram, hoffman.sports, if you want to see a very funny
funny, guys.
In between segments, behind the scenes moment from earlier on in the show from Anthony. But maybe we'll just go live on Instagram and we'll do a Halloween reaction if we have to on that. But yeah, Tuesday we'll have Mitch and do all our Tuesday stuff. Wednesday Yates will be back and we'll do all our Wednesday stuff. See if Pizzuta's back from Australia next Thursday, and lo and behold, it'll be next Friday all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it'd be like that. All right. We got anything in the real things folder?
We have a couple of things.
All right. Well, then it's time to wrap up this here week with real things real people said into real microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be so this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. I'm not going to do the Mike T trade offer. That one's, it's really bad. He's like, why do some guys are on television even though they're really smart, but they're not GMs anymore? Go listen to the trade offer that Mike Tannenbaum made on Get Up this morning for Myles Garrett. NBA on TNT. That's what Real Things is made for. The fellas dressed up for Halloween, and this is how it went.
I got you. There, makes sense. Chuckster.
And we know who you are.
I'm the bus driver.
You are.
America, they pay me money to be a damn idiot on television. Do you believe this? This is fake. Y'all gotta stop getting these small hats too, man.
No, you got a big head. No,
you got a big ass head.
You know what?
You got a big ass head.
That is the perfect fit. Can you take a guess on who I am?
Oh, come on. We are
Michael Buffer.
Buffer. You're that every day.
Michael Buffer.
What is that? Remember the opening scene of The Godfather?
Oh, nice.
And he's in his office on his
the cat.
And he's got the cats.
You don't offer me friendship.
Oh, wait. I got to take a picture of this. I don't even care.
You don't even think to call me Godfather.
There you go. That's all I know.
Good job.
There you go.
I am sure the lawyers at Turner, the second those buffoons said Michael Buffer, went, oh no, because I have to talk around this very, very strategically. Michael Buffer's catchphrase is patented and he is extremely litigious. If you say the magic words that Michael Buffer says to start fights, you will get sued by Michael Buffer. If you use that soundbite, you will get sued big time by Michael Buffer. So if one of those buffoons all of a sudden was like, oh yeah, you're Michael Buffer, Ernie, and then did the thing,
man,
the lawyers are going, oh God, oh God, oh God. We get an email, like a company-wide email about it like 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's our show for this week. We're not getting sued. We'll see you next week and see you Sunday night on Take Command for postgame.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.